Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the Very Best Bits of the Week That Was podcast. It is, as always, a charm having you on board. Now, I am shaking because I have just announced something huge on The Breakfast Show that you are listening to the best bits of in podcast form. And that is that for the last 3 years, privately, not secretly, privately, I've been working really rather hard on my debut book, and it's now ready to go. On the 12th of March, 2026, it will be available for you to enjoy. I hope you enjoy it. Its name is The Last Song on Earth, co-authored by a lifelong friend of mine named Jamie Scallion, very talented guy. We've been working on it, as I say, every single day for over 3 years.
Wow.
It's out a month today.
Is about to be released into the world.
It really is.
Quite an amazing moment, isn't it?
It is an amazing moment. You can pre-order on Amazon Kindle now.
You can also, already on my wish list.
Thank you, Matt.
Already
I appreciate that.
Is it yours, Andrea?
I was planning on listening to the audiobook.
Which you can pre-order now on Spotify, read by a very talented young actor by the name of Joe. So we sent a few little copies. We sent our little child out into the world early to a few key places. So here at Absolute Radio, it was described as Black Mirror meets the White Album. Heat said it was highly original and darkly comic, and Grazia said it was a timely and thought-provoking tale. Miranda Sawyer in The Guardian and Observer said a completely original, surprising and thrilling tale. The Last Song on Earth takes today's world of algorithms and AI and shunts into a near-future hellscape where real music has been erased and the only songs available are artificially generated, and then combines all of that with a will-they-won't-they love story, a worldwide contest, and yes, a proper band. Strong characters, well-drawn environment, impeccable Beatles knowledge, and wild jeopardy throughout make this a properly great read. I was gripped from start to finish.
Oh,
so firstly, thank you for all the reviews.
It's set in near future London,
and it's set in a world where AI, which, you know, it's so zeitgeisty right now. Everybody's talking about it, and we started writing this, as I say, 3 years ago, and we're actually getting more of a sense of actually the world in which we wrote about becoming a reality now.
The hellscape is now.
Enjoy
the podcast, everywhere.
It was Earth all along.
I hope you're all pumped. So The Last Song on Earth by Dave Berry and Jamie Scallion. That's what you should search out. I would really appreciate it. You can pre-order the audiobook, Amazon Kindle. The hardback and paperback will be available, as I say, on the 12th of March, so about a month away. So if you could get it, and I really hope that you enjoy it, it would mean a great deal to me. But right now, it is on with the show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
Right now. X, TikTok, Insta. Matt, what's going on with social media?
Well, I can't work out how I feel about this story, because as the latest tech continues to improve our lives, so does the desire for retro hardware, right? Mm. And on TikTok, they're saying that students have been running to IKEA to get their hands on the viral landline phone. This is a new trend where you get an old style, sort of 1940s rotary phone. You can imagine the thing, one little metal thing that you pick up to speak on.
Young to remember them.
Of course. Sorry, yes, of course. Shut you up, are, Dave. But you don't plug it into your BT wall socket like you used to in the old landline days.
Yeah.
Instead, you put your smartphone in a cradle, which is then plugged into a lead, which goes into the 1940s style retro rotary phone.
Yeah.
So you are acting like you're doing a landline phone call with your parents or something on a Sunday, but actually, you're still on your smartphone.
So,
what I mean, why, I'm not sure.
I got 802.
Yeah, you probably would do that.
But is it, can you hear them through the
handset?
I don't know what I'm getting about this.
Because it's connected by a
hello?
So they're still there, but it's still like, it'll still be sort of glitching probably as well. You probably lose signal, but which you didn't get on the landline, did you, of course?
You've tethered yourself to being at the bottom of the stairs for the entire duration.
I don't know why. Maybe kids these days have always had a desire to sit there and like twiddle the little curly lead on a mobile.
But you can't use it to dial, though, can you?
You dial out on your normal phone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you've got the twiddler
thing. Well, you could probably pretend. You could use the twiddly rotary.
It's not Fisher Price. These are adults. Well,
I mean, I just don't know why they're doing it.
I don't want them dragging it around the floor and his eyes open and closed.
I don't know why they're doing it.
I think it should be like it used to be in the old days when you had a landline phone, where if you also wanted to use the internet at the same time, like you get that weird noise, so they wouldn't be able to actually use any other things when they were on the phone.
I might as well just add that in for realism.
Yeah, you should do that.
Why not?
For mindfulness, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'm going to make a phone call now. The Wi-Fi's off for the whole house. That'll go down well. But I think it's just like, it's like the resurgence of vinyl, because...
I don't know if it is.
Instead of streaming. Is it? Seems to be.
Well, no, it's I kind of get what you mean.
It's the feel of holding that old-style phone in your hand.
Because they're saying that 2026 is going to be like the year we return to analogue. We're all desperate to return to a gentler time.
This is a sign
time.
Of that, isn't it? Yeah.
And this is... But I don't... Of all the things to bring back, I'm not sure if like the cradle landline is exactly the one, to be honest.
But I suppose, I imagine the novelty would wear off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
This was sent to me by many, many listeners, our dear listeners yesterday, including Nikki, Cy and Andy on Instagram.
Morning.
It's some Winter Olympic commentary, but it's Joe Tracini who's doing it. He's back in the game. This is the son of Joe Pasquale. Yeah. We featured him on the social
network. But he's his own person.
Many times before. He's very much his own person. And he does great commentary on events, like he's done the gymnastics before, he's done the horse jumping. Now he's back doing his wild and wacky commentary on the snowboarding at the Winter Olympics. Here's a little snippet of what he's done.
And he's gone. Organic thighs. Serving some tired showgirl. Sit apple-bottom jeans, a lung. Covering the terrain like a stoat and a trampoline. Goulash. A bit too much mince. M62, lost it at the first roundabout. Hands down a little bit on the second. Questionable tooth-to-gum ratio. Whacked out a poncho. Moustache. Finished in a lethargic escapologist. Look at my hot face.
That's so good. I don't know. It gets me every time.
Where he gets them from.
I love it.
The tooth-to-gum ratio is a beautiful piece of work. And you can't have too much mince in your goulash. We all know that. One of the weirdest post-match interviews ever. Olympic cheating like we've never seen before. This is a mad story from the Winter Olympics.
It's going
viral all around the world.
So cringe.
No,
it's the Norwegian biathlete Sturla Holm Lagreed.
Bless you.
So, thank you. He'd just won bronze in the men's 20-kilometre interval start, whatever that is. It's on skis, I think. That was the moment he thought, yeah, I'll do a little interview, but then he chose that moment to make a public apology to his ex-girlfriend who he cheated on 3 months ago.
Awful.
Airing all of it in public in an interview that's gone all around the world.
Was he thinking he was going to achieve with it, though?
Right, tell me you've not been media trained.
Exactly. You don't do
it's
that
the name
in this
of the show,
age.
Andrea Fox.
Yeah, it's like tearfully asking for a back. Like, I think he was thinking, look, I've won a medal. Is that not enough for you to forgive me? Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's only a bronze, mate.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not
getting
back in someone's heart, is it?
If you'd won a gold, maybe she'll consider it, but not for a bronze.
Then go
mate.
For it. Fill your boots.
Not third place on the podium. Come, but I don't know what he was thinking. It was a bizarre choice. But the poor lady in question, she said, she's released a statement saying, I did not choose to be put in this position.
Oh,
it hurts to have been put in it.
Oh,
we have had contact, and he's aware of my position on this.
Mm.
So basically, it's like, no.
So, no.
One of the other things you need to know about this story, just to kind of give it a little bit more of a comic tilt, is that the Hypebeast Woman executive producer Mark was saying to me, oh, I think Matt's going to do this story on Social Ammunition, so I'll get the audio. But obviously, the audio's completely in Norwegian.
Yeah.
and Mark didn't know that because he listened to it without any sound on.
He's so busy.
And if there's one thing you should know as an executive producer of breakfast shows, that subs don't work on the radio.
Yeah. We don't want to hear a guy crying in Norwegian. I don't think we're going to benefit from that. It's all a very weird story.
It's a mess.
But something great has come from the Hypebeast Wombles problematic Instagram algorithm, which is amazing in itself. Someone using the music of the Cranberries, the band, the excellent band, to annoy their parents. This is beautiful. Someone called Courtney, aka
Courtney.
Flirty Burps on TikTok. She narrates her mum's cooking when she's in the kitchen in the style of the Cranberries. Here she is in action.
I'm going to love this song.
Cheryl is peeling potatoes individually for a salad.
Oh, wow.
With her chips and her cheese and her large sour cream. Don't forget it. Don't forget. Must remember. Should you use your hands? I think that's pretty unsanitary. You got me grating up the egg.
That is my social ammo moment of the week.
The face of her annoyed mum is worth having a look at. I'll share it on my Instagram stories. You'll be talking about it later, and I've saved your data.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
It is Monday, the 9th of February, 2026. Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show, where it's time for your dose of topical content on your National Pizza Day.
Happy National Pizza Day.
Happy National Pizza Day. Are you a fan of pizza?
Who isn't? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you who isn't. Young producer Matt.
Yeah.
Never had one.
Apparently so.
Never had a pizza.
How can that
Unbelievable.
Happen?
Did you go to... You just have to nod. Yeah. I won't embarrass you, mate. Did you go to university? You did? And you never went round someone's house and... No.
But you went, you've been to kids' parties where all they serve is pizzas. What did you eat then? Nothing.
Just, no.
just the chips for Matt. So, he doesn't like melted cheese, apparently. That's
is that what it is?
Okay, yeah. Wow.
Have you ever thought of trying a Romana? They're like the thinner ones.
It's another cheese he doesn't want. Yeah, you could just have like a tomato-based
one.
White's cheesy though, isn't it?
In fact, he's starting to look angry now, so I think we should start.
Just marinara sauce.
Don't bring up cheese on toast.
And olive oil. That would be enough, wouldn't it? That was no melty cheese there. That'd be quite nice. You should try it. I want to be there when he eats his first pizza.
I think he doesn't want to be forced into eating a pizza on air, but I think it's coming.
I love it where Matt Dyson recommends things to try to young people. Yeah. We're still waiting for old Swiss to watch Grot Bags. We haven't got a chance of young producer Matt there having a pizza anytime soon either, have we? What's your go-to pizza topping, Matt? Whether you're going high-end or you get it delivered, what are you going for?
We always get three. We get for the family, it's like ham and pineapple, obviously, margarita, and then we get one with chilies and a salami on it
for mum and dad,
and I have a slice of each, to cover all bases.
Dear.
Nice.
Andrew, what about you? What about you and your husband?
Yeah, chili and salami would be my husband's favourite. He basically has a version of American hot wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Whereas I quite like whatever the nicest veggie looking one is, or something with loads of truffle and cheese on. That'd be mine.
Truffle.
Yeah.
Wow, right. Expensive taste.
I just like the Romana margarita, just real basic. Yes. In ancient
classic.
Rome?
Classic, not basic.
Yeah, it's a classic.
I mean, the Romana base was a real game changer, wasn't it?
100%
one.
Yeah. So nice. Thin, but not too crispy, you know.
I like all the sourdough, the big fluffy one.
I love a sourdough.
I'm just still seeing it's a big firm no from producer Matt over there. He's just starting to stare at his computer now. He's completely zoned out from National Pizza Day. If you eat pizza, celebrate it wherever you are. And now it's on with the show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
It is Tuesday morning. Welcome along to The Breakfast Show. We're coming up in under 1 hour's time. We're going to be joined here on the show by two Hollywood big hitters, two actors of note in the shape of Halle Berry and Chris Hemsworth. They're here to talk about their brand new movie, Crime 101, which I highly recommend. But also, it at last gives me an opportunity to ask Chris a very important question. 6 months ago, I told this story on this very breakfast show, and in under an hour, I'm going to find out at long, long last, whether Chris remembers this. And Evie's really into her swimming at the moment. As a family, we spent quite a lot of time trying to teach her to swim, and she's at that point where it's all just clicked and she's having real fun with it. And the thing I'm doing with Evie at the moment is she's at the edge of the pool and she's there, she's 6 years old, and I kind of stand in the middle of the pool and she launches herself off, she swims over, she gets to me, she clings on, then she turns around like you see the Olympic swimmers do, and you know where they kick off the wall and but she's been getting me every single time, quite frankly.
Oh, no.
In the winky.
Yeah.
Right, so that's what's been going on. So, and I've been going, my winky. And Evie's found this hilarious, right? And because we're on our own, my voice is booming and echoing around this indoor swimming pool. My winky! Go for it. You know what I mean? She's rolling around. It's perfect. And that's when I glimpse through these kind of artificial bits of shrubbery that there is a sauna and there's somebody in the sauna. Right? So this person stands up, and then straight away I can see this person is a man, and I can see this person is really well built. And the sauna door opens, and he comes strolling down the side of the pool, having heard me for the last 15 minutes, going, oh, my Bo Winky! Guess who it is? Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth. Actual Thor has heard me yelling all my winky while he was trying to have a sauna. I could not believe it.
It's funny because I've not only told that story and lived that story, but I've also listened back to that piece of audio for various reasons on numerous occasions, and it just, if anything, gets worse every time I hear it. More and more embarrassing.
I'm really excited to find out whether Chris Hemsworth remembers that story about your winking.
Yeah, Andrew, you're right. So coming up on the show this morning, does Chris Hemsworth remember some strange individual in a swimming pool shouting, "Oh, my winky!"
I am joined by two very special guests. The first is an Oscar-winning actor whose on-screen company includes the likes of the X-Men and James Bond. The other has wielded a giant hammer as the Norse god of thunder, mixed it with aliens as a man in black, and even found time to be Captain Kirk's dad. They are together for the brilliant new crime thriller, Crime 101. It's Halle Berry and Chris Hemsworth, everyone!
Thank you very much.
Hello, hello!
Thank you. Hello. How are you?
Great having you on the show. I've seen the movie. I love the movie. It's a little difficult for me because I don't want to plot spoil all the people who are going to head out to the cinema to see it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fair to say that it is, in one hand, it's a cool, sleek, cat and mouse heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
On a kind of human level, is it also an examination of kind of people finding themselves at a crossroads in their lives, examining where maybe they've made the wrong choices and where it leaves them at the moment that we meet the characters for the first time on screen?
Absolutely, yeah. It is a character-driven crime thriller, as you say. There's incredible action, but the suspense and the emotional depth and the complexity is what really drew me to the script. And they're all at a point of their lives where the, I guess, the sort of persona and the mask they've been wearing is wearing thin now, and there is a need for a change in life, and there's a propulsion through their own activities and also the collision course that they're all on that projects them into this big sort of transition and a particularly risky heist. Mm-hmm. Where all three of these characters, Mark Ruffalo and plays the detective, Halle Berry plays an insurance broker, and myself, the criminal, all collide in a pretty dramatic fashion.
Yeah.
Halle, there's a really nice bit in it where you get to, again, not plot spoiling here, but you get to kind of deliver a verbal smackdown to your boss.
So good.
It was so good. I was nearly like whooping in the cinema. It must have been nice to do that, right?
Oh my God, so good.
Yeah.
And I think so many women will live vicariously through that character. I know I did.
Yeah.
I lived through that character. And I think it's, you know, we've been marginalized a lot, and especially at, you know, midlife. You know, we can age out of our lives, or we've been made to feel like that's what our fate has to be. And so it was nice to be able to, you know, give it back to him.
Yeah, no, but you brought the rawness of that to the screen. Yeah. It was really fantastic. Yeah. And I was really pleased when you got to kind of, as I say, deliver that speech.
Yeah.
As you touched on, a fantastic cast, including Mark Ruffalo, Nick Nolte. It's lovely seeing Nick on the big screen again,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Mark Ruffalo's the kind of world-weary LA detective. Barry Keoghan is a kind of criminal with a head full of very messed up wires, like only Barry can play, I think.
Yeah.
Had you seen Saltburn before you worked with Barry? Because I believe there are certain things you just
can't
unsee about your co-stars, right?
Absolutely.
Nothing left to the imagination.
Yeah, no.
My co-host Matt Dyson's like that all of the time, every day. So what was it like working with Barry?
He's electric. There's an intensity in it. He's a wild man on and off the screen in an incredibly fun way. It certainly inhabited that space with full commitment, and there's an unpredictable quality to it, which that character needed.
Yeah.
And it's a dangerous quality.
Yeah, and I had a scene with him where, you know, we kind of get into a little thing, and right before that I was like, oh my God, how is this going to go? Because it's just such a, you know, a live wire feeling to him, you know, and you just, but he always comes through and he's a true professional, but he brings that energy into the room. He's a little scary.
As an actor, is that quite satisfying? Do you feel like you're in the room, you're
in
the moment, you're in the scene?
Oh,
or is it like, oh, Barry's going to be Barry? I mean, what?
No, I mean, you know, Barry's going to be Barry, but he's still a professional.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's always fun, like when you want people to bring their A game and raise the stakes. And
and this is not Barry, but I've had other actors right before a stunt, like slapping themselves and screaming and getting psyched up. I'm like, whoa, it's just not a real fight. You know that, right? We're just pretending, yeah? We're cool.
I was telling him yesterday, I got knocked out cold because an actor did that.
No.
Like, they're not Barry. They're, like, living it, their method. They're all hyped up, and the guy slammed my head to the concrete. It's like a bowling ball hit the ground.
That's what I said.
I never kiss and tell.
No, no, that's all. Smack your head and tell. As this one goes, yeah, okay, fair enough. No.
A couple of the kind of more intense scenes when it comes to kind of dialogue and also these wonderful silences that are used in the movie as well, because your kind of character is quite monosyllabic because by his very nature, he's secretive. They occur between yourself and Mark Ruffalo's character, and I have to ask on behalf of all the Marvel fans, what was it like kind of doing those scenes outside of Thor and the Hulk?
It was really interesting and quite uncomfortable because we turned up on set like a couple of old mates catching up and having a laugh and screwing around, and then Bart was like, hey guys, this is very different to Hulk and Thor, you know, very different to that dynamic and the comedic improvisational space. But that as soon as the cameras rolled, you and both of us have talked about this, going, ooh, this is a very different dynamic and this is a very different character, and what does that bring out in one another? And that discomfort and attempt to sort of assess each other out and trying to figure out where we're going is exactly what the characters were going through. So it lent itself to, I guess, you know, navigating how these scenes were playing out. But a lot of subtext in those scenes, unspoken.
The scene in the car is fantastic.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite scenes to shoot. And when I first read it, I thought this is going to be one of those special scenes, you know, where you're talking about everything but what you're talking about.
Hattie, let me ask you. We're both named after fruit.
I know. I'm wondering if we were related. Because you're a berry, I'm a berry. You're not a Barry. You're a berry.
I'm a berry. I mean, are you okay being named after a fruit? Has it served you well?
It has served me well.
I think it has.
Halle Berry has worked for me.
You're a guiding light for all the fruit-named people of this earth, so thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Listen, Chris, I want to take you back to August 2025. And a really nice hotel just outside of London, which I won't name. You are in an indoor pool facility they have there. Mm. You are using the sauna.
Mm-hmm. I'm very nervous.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I know it.
Quite know how to put this, but if you can remember that day.
I was in the sauna a lot during that time.
Was there a particular time you were in the sauna where you could hear a Cockney, a London gentleman, shouting, "Oh, my winky!" Does that ring any bells to you?
I think I do.
No.
But I remember because it was quite, when we were there, it was quiet.
Yeah.
Do you keep telling the story? Because I feel like.
Hey, to bring you up to speed here, I was in the same hotel. I didn't know Chris was there, and it was early morning swim session with my daughter, who's 7 years old, and I'm like, we're teaching her to swim. She loves swimming. And we were doing this thing where she was kicking off of me to swim to the side, and I was doing this joke that she was getting me in the winky, and because I thought we were the only people there, I was going, oh, my winky! And then the sauna door opened, and out stepped in just a towel Chris Hemsworth, and he walked calmly down the side of the pool and went, morning. And that was and to this day, I need to know, did you hear that?
No, I swear to God, I remember to what sounded like an animal being strangled. You know? How was the winky? Has it recovered?
Not yet. And that was in the summer of last year. The doctor tells me there's still time. The movie, it opens. It's got a really great opening because it's LA upside down and it begins to rotate. And that is accompanied by a sleep meditation audiobook because your character Sharon, she's struggling to get to sleep. Yep. And obviously, sleep is such an important thing. You know, I get up at 4:30 every morning to do this breakfast show. Many of the people listening to us right now, and I'm sure you have super early call times. Yeah. So for the listeners, have you got any sleep tips that you would share with them? Mm. Guarantees that they're going to get a proper 40 winks.
It's
melatonin.
That's right.
I go straight to it.
I thought we were going down the yoga route. Yeah. Fair enough.
Melatonin.
I find you got to know where your window is. It drives my wife crazy because her, you know, circadian rhythm or weather is like 11 p.m. and I'm like 8 o'clock, And if I get to sleep in the bed at like 8:15, which is ridiculous because most kids are still awake, I'll sleep through. But if I miss that window and I'm up to like 11, then I'm off. So it's finding out what that window is, where your body goes, oh, this is our spot. And some melatonin and whatever other.
And sleep deprivation is a form of torture. Like when you're not sleeping, and as a woman in midlife, that's really hard for us. And when you don't sleep, like, I become a bear. Like it's
horrible.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Again, you bring that across brilliantly on the screen. I'm going to try mouth taping. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
It's just when you breathe through your nose.
I've heard that.
It helps,
but work.
All the obvious stuff, not looking at your screen and TV and so on beforehand. Yeah.
And not
reading.
Sleeping with your phone by your bed. That's good. Do you do that?
I do that.
Really
I need
boring
the alarm
book.
Clock. I mean, but, I know.
I used to, but then I got an old-fashioned alarm clock to get my phone
away.
I keep it all the way downstairs now. And that has helped me.
That's a big one,
These are top tips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you both. Now, as I said at the very beginning of our conversation together, I really enjoyed Crime 101. It is out in cinemas on the 13th of Feb. I urge you to go check it out. I cannot recommend it enough. You have been listening to A Thaw Between Two Berries. Which doesn't quite scan, but you must admit it's good enough to make it on air.
It's pretty good.
Give it up for Hallie and Chris, everyone.
Thank you.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to The Breakfast Show on your Wednesday morning. This is where we're giving you the opportunity to tell us about your quirks. It's 8, 12, 15, but of course, it's never just you. It can be your loved ones, your friends, your work colleagues. Whoever it may be, you can complete the sentence, is it weird that? Now, the number is 8, 12, 15, and as always, it's only fair that I share. And this week, I'm fully focused on my 7-year-old daughter, Evie, who has a new... Okay, so I'm going to go through the list here. A new favourite person.
Yeah.
A new style-spiration.
Oh.
A new hero, I'm going to say.
Really?
And it's an unusual one. No offence to the person in question, but I think it's rather unusual that this person umbrellas all three of those things for my child.
It's not grot bags, is it?
It is not grot bags. There are similarities between grot bags and this person.
Really?
K-pop demon hunters? No,
she's got that covered off. You know, we've got the Sarge Boys poster and all that, but the Sarge Boys mean nothing to Evie, not like this guy does.
Wow.
This guy's levels.
Oh.
And this guy is Rob Beckett.
Oh, what?
Style-spiration.
I'll get to that in a second, but let's start with how, shall we? Because I was saying to Sarah Jane, I was going, how? So I recommended Rob and Ramesh versus to Sarah Jane. She'd never watched it. It's just brilliant.
It's a great
television
show, isn't it?
It really is good. And they've got a kind of Winter Olympic special on at the moment.
Oh,
and
right, nice.
So Sarah Jane was watching it, and she paused it and was going about doing stuff that she had to do. And Evie is now obviously at that age where she comes in and she's totally, dexterity with the TV remote is second to none, because we're great parents. So she presses play. And like Rob's fallen over.
Right,
He's wearing, at one point he's wearing sumo pants or something. Okay, all the usual stuff that we love.
Yeah.
And it's just the funniest thing Evie's ever seen in her life.
Wow.
So she's like just fallen in love. And but obviously, Rob and Ramesh versus is not for children. Let me point that out.
Yes.
Don't make the mistake we have made. It's an over 15s, over 16s kind of thing. There's some potty language in there.
Yeah.
There's a bit of nudity, you know. But Evie just thinks that they are the funniest guys on earth, right?
I love it.
So to the point where Sarah Jane was like, well, you can't repeat any of these words, or what you're hearing. She's like, no. Yeah. And she's like, are we like Rob and Ramesh? And Evie was like, I'm Rob, though, yeah. Right. So she asked to get, and I brought them in this morning. She asked us to order her some Rob Beckett style spectacles.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say big fake teeth. But
You can say that because you're his mate. I'm not going there. We got her the clear glass Rob Beckett spectacles.
Well, he
does look good in them.
He wears them well.
My 7-year-old daughter.
Wow.
I don't know.
So she's doing like a sort of role play where she's dressing up as Rob Beckett.
She wants to be Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett.
I mean, I know Rob and I love him to bits.
He's a lovely guy.
Formerly of this parish. But, The Sarja Boys, I kind of got it from K-pop Demon Hunters. Yeah. It was like, okay, you get to a point where there's boy bands in your life and all that. I understand that, you know, bit of South Korean pop. I get it. But Rob Beckett... It's weird, isn't it?
Is it weird that
my seven-year-old daughter's style inspiration is Rob Beckett?
He's the new Gokwan.
David Wiggins just got in touch. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. Is it weird that when the biscuit barrel is running low, I empty out the broken biscuits onto a kitchen roll, put fresh biscuits in the barrel, then put the broken biscuits back on top so they get eaten first? The kids think this is weird.
Is it pernickety?
Yeah, they're just going to the bottom, aren't they, the little crumbs?
Well, it's all about stock rotation, isn't it? So you've got to get rid of the old ones first, so they need to come back to the top, and then they can get in, and then the other ones will last longer. I'm with Dave and Wiggins.
Stock rotation.
Yeah, it's got to be done.
Okay.
Gosh, you're cool. I mean, we had someone in this same feature not too long ago talk about plate rotation.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like, you don't want to wash them and then put them straight back on.
So everyone gets
to run
out.
Bottom, yeah. So everyone gets a run out, yeah. You've got a squad. Your biscuit barrels are much a squad, not
You've
just
got to
a team.
Keep everyone happy. It's hard, isn't it? It's a hard job managing that.
Yeah, you don't want your Bourbons like kind of angry for a move, do you? Exactly. You don't want them to go away on loan or whatever. Claire. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. Is it weird that I love to pick skin to the point that if I see someone with skin that is flaking or peeling off, I feel excited and I want to pounce on them? And I also love to pour PVA glue on my hands, let it dry, then peel it off as it resembles skin.
Are you pouncing on people you know, not strangers?
Yeah, well, 100%. I mean, the PVA glue thing I get, but if you're four, I mean, I don't understand, Claire, you know.
I've not seen PVA glue since primary school. I don't know about you.
100%. My favourite piece of skin to peel. And we've all got one, haven't we?
Oh, yeah,
we
stop.
Yeah. 8, 12, 15.
breakfast.
No, but it's when I get on holiday, I get caught in the sun, you know, playing tennis or whatever, and the top of my ears burn.
Oh, yeah.
Picking off the flaky skin at the top of your ears.
Oh, yeah.
Claire, you still with us?
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
It is Thursday morning, and on The Breakfast Show, we're giving you the opportunity to tell that story you've never told before. Yes, it happened, but we never, ever speak about it. Now, the thing about this feature is, and you're so good at it, you just basically send those stories in their rawest form.
Yeah.
And I will do all the hard work to make them broadcastable for the nation.
Some horrendous things written down that come into us, don't we?
So like, literally, like, why are you sending us this? We are asking, so I suppose it's kind of on us.
But then you've got to filter through it and make it broadcastable.
And we will read them out, you know, 8, 12, 15. They've not necessarily got to be naughty. They could just be so cringe-inducing that you never speak about it. As I say, it's 8, 12, 15. And we've got a couple of examples here to get the ball rolling. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. My next-door neighbour knocked on my door and asked if I could give her change of £10 in £1 coins for her electric meter. I walked indoors to get the change. It was only then, as I was walking towards her, I noticed my...
Redacted.
..was hanging out of my pyjamas. We never spoke of it again. From Lee. Hi there.
I'd move house.
You'd have to move out, wouldn't you? Yeah. Hi there. I once, not realising who it was, of course, Dave, told the late Queen Mother to get out of my way.
Wow.
Informing her some of us have got work to do. I wish I could stand around all day looking at hanging baskets.
Ooh, wow.
Alan.
Rude.
Alan did it. It was only when my boss, who witnessed the incident, told me who it was. I was so relieved the bodyguard didn't pin me to the floor.
Yeah.
Could get sent to the tower.
Could you get out of the way? Some of us, we've got work to do, you know? We're looking at hanging baskets all day.
What an outburst.
Alan has never spoken of it until now. Steve in Wiltshire gets us underway right now with, good morning, Dave, good morning, team. I was a PC on night duty solo foot patrol in London. I came across two young lads in a broken down Mini. They told me they had a battery issue, so I gave them a hand to push start it. It worked, and I waved them off, feeling pleased with myself. Yeah. Minutes later, that Mini was circulated over my personal radio as a stolen vehicle.
Oh, no.
He'd helped the two thieves get away. He push started them.
Amazing. Is that something from the Thin Blue Line?
Yeah, it's so sitcommy, isn't it?
Yeah, what a gaff.
Rest assured, I never spoke of it again. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, do you want to hand hot wiring it as well while you're there?
Have this bag. What's it got written? It's swag. Let me just put it in the boot for you. Hi, Dave. I once walked along the South Bank in London, oblivious that a pair of my knickers was stuck to my scarf. They'd been in the tumble dryer together.
Oh, no.
My friends and I stopped for a hot chocolate. When I stood up, I noticed a pair of pants on the bench and I commented, oh, look, someone's left their pair of knickers behind. We were all laughing until I looked closer and I realised they were mine. I stuffed them in my handbag. We then went to Tower Bridge for a tour and I had to have my bag searched. It was mortifying.
No.
My friends and I never talk about the benched knickers again, from Amy in Surrey.
Amazing.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. Back in the 1990s, I worked as a barman in a club in Rhodes. Ooh. Whilst there, I inadvertently started a feud between two rival families. It's safe to say I can never go back to Rhodes. That's from Anonymous.
I'm so intrigued. My mind is like...
Do you know what? I'm actually going to spool back on that one. Let's go through this again. Hi, Dave and the team. In the 90s, I worked as a barman in a club in Rhodes. I inadvertently started a feud between two rival families.
Yeah.
Redacted.
A.
Redacted.
A.
Redacted.
And A.
Redacted.
With a hairy...
Redacted.
And I can't go back. I mean... Yeah.
It was a long and crazy summer, let's put it that way.
Netflix are not going to be making a rom-com out of that one, my friend, let me tell you. Good morning, Dave and the team. Many years ago, I decided to treat myself to a physical enhancement in the chest area. A couple of curious colleagues asked to see them. So at work one afternoon, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah. The three of us snuck off to the corridor and the staff room near the manager's office. Checking the coast was clear, I ripped off my pullover, unbuttoned my shirt and whipped my bra up over my head, revealing my beautiful new...
Redacted.
Whilst proudly shouting, "Feast your eyes on these!"
Redacted.
To my two colleagues.
Oh, no.
As the words rolled off my...
Redacted.
Oh, no, it's just the word tongue, sorry. As the words rolled off my tongue, the station manager came out of his office and straight into my glorious...
Redacted.
He went very red and sweaty, turned on his heels to go back to his office. However, he moved so fast, he failed to open the office door, walked straight into it, rebounded off of it, falling backwards into me, making me lose my balance. I fell backwards onto the floor with my manager not far behind, falling on top of me and my brand new...
Redacted.
What?
My colleagues scrambled to pick us...
This is ridiculous.
My colleagues scrambled to pick us both up as the other staff and passengers came to see all the commotion. My manager got to his feet purple and sweating.
Redacted.
I don't know why I've used it there, but I thought I should. Who knows anymore? Ran off shouting, "Put away those
Redacted.
This minute." A couple of months later, he decided to retire, claiming working on the railway just isn't the same anymore.
That is an epic tale. Amazing. They never spoke of it ever
working
again.
Working on the railway just isn't the same anymore, thanks to Anna. Now, that was an episode of Thomas the Tank Engine that I never saw, that's for sure.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
It's coming up to 7 minutes past eight on your Friday morning. Welcome along to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show, where on Tuesday morning I was joined by Chris Hemsworth and Halle Berry. They were on great form, talking about their brand new movie, Crime 101, which is out in cinemas today. And they were kind of late to the studio.
Mm.
It's up to them. They're two Hollywood A-listers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Halle's got an Oscar, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth is actual Thor. So if they don't want to turn up until midday, that's fine.
Yeah.
So I thought after the show, what I would do is go to the gym.
Okay.
And then I'll come back, shower obviously, back and interview them. Which is what I did. And you can see the interview for yourselves on our YouTube channel, or you can listen back to it on demand on Rayo. And it will also be part of the Best of the Week That Was podcast, which is available this morning from 10. So what it meant was I was parched. And I should have had a glass of water before sitting down for the interview.
You don't drink
enough
water.
Didn't have cranberry juice, did you?
No, that would have been a schoolboy error. No, yeah. But I hadn't had enough water. Right, I'd been to the gym and I found myself rather dry mouthed and I managed to get through it. But then towards the very end of the interview, it was awful. It was clag town. I was so claggy.
Oh, no.
I don't have a word for it. And obviously, I didn't want to be claggy in front of Chris Hemsworth and Halle Berry.
Not in front of Hollywood stars.
I'm trying to lick my lips just to wet the whistle. So I try and hide behind the mic muff here. So I'm behind here. Just trying. So we have three clips of the moment it happened. The first one, poor producer Old Swiss had to put these together. Lick Lips Long, this is called, which is one of my erotic dancing names. So here we go. This is the moment. Guarantees that they're going to get a proper 40 winks. Here, right.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to hide. Ooh, guarantees that they're going to get a proper 40 winks. And then we've got licked lips.
Ooh.
So you shouldn't be doing that in an interview.
No.
You don't get Norton doing that, do you?
No.
Ross isn't doing that, is he? You know what I mean? This is lick lip slow-mo. There you go.
Wow. Yeah, slow down.
As I say, you can listen back to that interview and watch it. It's on our YouTube channel or it's on demand on Rayo. And as a nod to that moment, I've decided to turn it into a positive and give you a chance to earn a shout out next on The Breakfast Show. Yes, the smash is back as we lubricate the movies. That's what I needed to do. Okay, two Hollywood A-listers and my lips together. Let's lubricate the movies. Now, the number is 81215. That is 81215. Make sure you include your name and where you are, or it's not a shout out. I'm going to be doing them in about 5 minutes' time, so get them into me right now. 8, 12, 15. Lady in the Damp, that would work.
Good.
The Squirt Locker, that would also work.
Very nice.
What have you got, Matt?
Wet Shorty, The Drench Connection, and Reservoir Songs.
Hey, very good. Andrea?
I like Driplash.
Very good.
And one of my Christmas faves, Floody the Elf.
Excellent work. So there we go. We are lubricating the movies. We need your help. That number again, 81215. It's unacceptable,
so dry,
isn't it?
So dry.
So dry.
Your arid lips.
So I've tried to turn this frown upside down. Yeah, you like that as a show name? Arid lips, you got it. Tried to turn this frown upside down by turning it into a positive, by giving you a chance to earn a shout out on your Friday morning. And I do believe it was a wise decision, because I do believe this is the best pun work you guys have ever done. So thank you.
Yeah.
There's so much gold here, including Tango and Splash from Lean in Woking, lubricating the movies brilliantly there. Jane in Southampton, congratulations on Wet Out.
Oh, Forget Out. Yes, nice.
Yeah, you got that. Paolo in Sandhurst, Gush Hour. An interesting take on things from Matt, who's gone for the big dry mouth ski.
Oh, excellent. Oh,
that's very good, isn't it?
Extra points for that.
Steve in Southend, Honey, I Drunk the Kids.
Very different film.
David in Brighton, Lock, Stock and Two Soaking Barrels.
Oh, good. It's good.
Water Lip Down.
Another one
from Mark in Durham, which is what
events.
I should have done. Yes. I should have watered my lip down, shouldn't I? And then finally from me, Daryl in High Wycombe, congratulations on When Harry Wet Sally.
Perfect.
Yes.
Matt, what have you got over there?
Water of the World, says Rich in Leeds. Gulp Fiction from
Very
Gordon
good.
In Newcastle. Fergie in Fauldhouse, a little village in Scotland, suggests Drain Spotting.
Oh, that's nice.
Batman versus the Soaker comes from Michelle in Birmingham. Dame Judy Drench, says
like
Ella
that.
In Manchester.
I like that.
Sandy in Perth's gone for the excellent Sprinkler Taylor Soldier Spy.
Yes.
And Darren Izzard on X on Lubricating the Movies has gone for WD 40-year-old Virgin. Lovely work.
And there we go. The movies are well and truly lubricated. Thank you, everybody, and well done on earning your shout out.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
The Brit Awards 2026 with MasterCard.
Yes, and Absolute Radio is supporting Group of the Year at the Brit Awards 2026 with MasterCard. The nominees include The Last Dinner Party, Pulp, Sleep Token, Wet Leg, and Wolf Alice. One of the bands will be taking home the accolade on Saturday the 28th of this month at Co-op Live in Manchester, and you could be there. And today we are playing the first of five bespoke games, all based around the nominees. We're having the last dinner party. Correctly identify the death row meal from one member of the team. It included some highlights, a chicken Jalfrezi, not one but two carafes of red wine and a tub of cookie dough ice cream. Joining us right now, we have Lisa in Blackpool. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Dave.
Welcome along to the show. So whose last dinner party was that?
I think it's yours.
It is mine, Lisa. Yeah. You're going to the Brit Awards. Get in there. And you know what? I'd love to mix all of those ingredients in together.
Oh,
imagine
yes.
cookie dough ice cream with mushroom rice in it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Lisa, congratulations. It's you and someone you admire and you love very much. Who are you going to take with you to the Brits?
My goddaughter, my gorgeous goddaughter, Madison.
Madison, oh, your nice. Gorgeous goddaughter. You are going to the Brit Awards 2026. Lisa, thank you for joining us here on The Breakfast Show. We'll speak to you again
thank
soon.
You.
Well done, Lise. Take care of yourselves. And today, inspired by one of our nominees, we are playing Sleep Woken. Matt Dyson isn't on the show today. He's having a well-earned lay-in, but he's taken the two tickets to the Brits with him. So two callers are going to sneak into Matt's room and take it in turns to look at one of six different locations. They're looking for the tickets. If they wake Matt, play moves on to the other caller. Don't wake Matt, find the tickets, and you're going to the Brits. And playing this morning, we have Kieran. Good morning, Kieran.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Welcome
morning.
Along to the show. Kieran joins us on Absolute Radio Country every weekday morning online too. We have Abby. Hello there, Abby.
Morning, Dave. Morning, team.
Great
morning.
Having you on. Abby's a main station kind of girl. So, Kieran, Abby, Abby, Kieran.
Hiya.
You're
Kieran.
Okay, I'm so, Kieran, we're starting with you. Where would you like to look first? The wardrobe, under the bed, the chest of drawers, under Matt's pillow, the bedside table, or in the dirty laundry?
Let's look in the dirty laundry.
Oh, straight in there. Okay, Kieran, good luck. Get in there, you.
What are you, do I know you? What are you doing in here?
Kieran, no, they're not in the dirty laundry. Okay, so, Abby, we're going wardrobe, under the bed, chest of drawers, under the pillow, bedside drawer.
Do you want my Danger Mouse? Let's go under the pillow.
Under the pillow, Danger Mouse style. Get in there, Abby.
Is that you, Michael McIntyre?
Oh, no, it's not Michael McIntyre. It's Abby, but unfortunately you've woken Matt Dyson, which means Kieran, back to you. Were you looking in the wardrobe, under the bed, the chest of drawers, or the bedside drawer?
Let's look on the bedside drawer.
Get away from that.
Get away from the bedside drawer, Kieran. Don't look in there, for heaven's sake. Okay, that means there are just three locales remaining. Abby, what are we thinking? Wardrobe, under the bed, or chest of drawers?
Under the bed, please.
Under the bed. Stay asleep.
What are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, you've woken the big hairy fella, Abby. Which means, Kieran, it is back to you. It is 50-50. Are Matt's tickets in the wardrobe or the chest of drawers?
The wardrobe.
You're going for the wardrobe.
What are you doing in here?
Matt's woken up, which means, Abby, you're going to the Brit Awards!
Brilliant. Well done, Kieran, though.
Well done, Kieran. Great having you on the show. Nicely played, but yeah, let's check that chest of drawers, shall we? There it is. The winning moment. Abby, congratulations. You got two tickets to the Brit Awards. We'll see you there. We are playing Wetter Leg. Matt Dyson has a vessel of undetermined size sitting on his lap. He'll fill the vessel with water until one of our listeners shouts, stop. Whoever is closest to the rim will win. But if their opponent penetrates that rim, the other automatically wins two places on the guest list to the Brit. So first, Matt, I know you've got a long train journey home, so I'm going to help you bag up.
You've got me a nice big back.
You get that on you. You get that on you.
With holes in the bottom so I can put my feet through it.
There you go. Perfect. How's that? Some sort of plastic sheet in here.
Quite nice, actually, yeah.
You are wearing sheet.
Yeah, nice.
Very nice.
Like a sort of skirt, a black leather skirt that a punk would wear in the 80s.
Oh, I was going to say like a nappy bin bag, but we can go with that.
I was going to go with a hairy Tina Turner, but you know, we've all got our things.
Okay, fine. One of those.
Joining us right now on line one, we have Mel. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Mel, welcome along to the show. On line two is Cameron. Hello, Cameron.
Morning, Dave. Morning, team.
Both fans of the main station. Cameron, this is Mel. Mel, this is Cameron.
Morning, Cameron.
Okay, guys, good luck to you both. So we're going to start pouring and you just need to shout stop. And Mel, we're starting with you. So you just shout stop when the pour commences, whenever you like. Matt.
Okay.
Let's get wetter leg.
Here we go.
Stop.
Okay, don't give anything away with any sound effects or anything like that. We are marking off your attempts. You did not penetrate the rim, Mel, so that's always a good thing.
Thank you, Mel.
Okay, now we are reloading. Cameron, grow up. Cameron, it is your turn. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's get Matt a wetter leg. Commence the pour.
Here we go.
Stop.
Cameron, you've done it! You're off to the Brit Awards!
Yeah!
Well done, my friend! Yes!
So close, a whole centimetre in there. Really,
goodness me. Wow. Mel, lovely having you on the show, but Cameron, what are you saying, a centimetre?
Yeah, and I've got dry legs, a centimetre.
The wetter leg thing. I'm quite tempted. Could you just pour it over yourself, just for me?
No,
come on. Pour it over yourself. Pour it. Yes, Matt Dyson.
I can't move now.
Oh, he's got a little pool of water in his bin bag skirt. What have we become? It's like Lord of the Flies in here.
Unbelievable.
Cameron, congratulations, mate. Enjoy it. I'll see you down there, yeah? Take care of yourself. We're going to play What's the Time, Mr. Wolf? Alice. Two callers are going to go head to head to give us times between 1 o'clock and 12 o'clock. If they hear footsteps, they're safe. If they hear dinner time, then the Wolf Alice has caught them, meaning the other caller has got the tickets. And joining us right now, we have Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Dave. Hello, team.
Welcome along to the show. Paul listens to us every morning on Absolute Radio Country, which is nice. We have Gemma in Hampstead on line two. Good morning, Gemma.
Good morning, everybody.
Gemma is a main station kind of cat. Gemma, this is Paul. Paul, this is Gemma.
Hi. Gemma, good luck.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Okay, Paul, we're going to be starting with you. So I'm going to ask you, what's the time, Mr. Wolf Alice?
4 o'clock.
You are safe. Okay. Gemma, what's the time, Mr. Wolf Alice?
7 o'clock.
You're safe, Gemma. Paul, what's the time, Mr. Wolf Alice?
2 o'clock.
You are safe, Paul. Ooh. Daddy, what did you do at work today?
Surprisingly tense, this, isn't it?
Gemma. What's the time, Mr. Wolf Alice?
It's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, okay. It's a lot of footsteps. You are safe, Gemma. Paul, what's the time, Mr. Wolf Alice?
8 o'clock.
Safe again.
They're getting so close.
Gemma, what's the time, Mr. Wolf Alice?
1 o'clock.
One single step forwards. You're safe. Oh, what shoes are you wearing?
I don't know, my heart. I'll take it.
Paul, who, it's just a pure coincidence, is wearing exactly the same shoes as Gemma. What are the chances? What's the time, Mr. Wolf Alice?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. You're safe. Gemma, you've got 5, 6, 10, 11, or 12. What's it going to be? What's the time, 12. Mr. Wolf Alice? 12, okay. 12 o'clock. It's like the opening credits to The Bill. You're safe!
Yes!
Oh, Paul, okay. 5, 6, 10 or 11?
6.
This is so intense.
Are we going to be here all day?
You're safe, Paul. Gemma, 5, 10 or 11?
10.
Dinner time.
Oh!
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are off to the Brit Awards 2026 with MasterCard happening at Co-op Live in Manchester. Gemma, it was lovely having you on the show, but unfortunately you didn't win this time. Paul, enjoy it. I'll see you there.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Well done, man. Take care of yourself. And our final bespoke game, based on that fine list of nominees, is Pulp Fiction or Pulp Friction. We each told a tale of when we've wound up a celebrity, but only one of them was true. Ooh. If you can identify the true teller, then you could win yourself 2 tickets to the Brits. And joining us right now, we have Sam. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Welcome along to the show. Very good, thanks for asking. Sam joins us on The Breakfast Show via the main station. So I'll give you a little rundown. Which one of these is true? I annoyed Slash from Guns N' Roses when I made him spit out his chewing gum. Matt accidentally stood on Spit the Dog in front of Bob Carroll G's. And Andrea, you sang a Danish bacon advert in front of Peter Schmeichel, the great Manchester United goalkeeper of yesteryear. So who's telling the truth, Sam?
I think you're telling the truth.
Is the right answer, yeah. Sam! You've done it! You've won your way into the Brits! Congratulations! It was me! You got 2 spots on the guest list. Who are you going to take with you, Sam?
I'm going to take my incredible wife, Gemma.
Oh, lovely Gemma and Sam off to the Brit Awards. Very nice indeed. Yeah, so I was hosting this live TV show.
Yeah.
And everyone was worried that Slash was going to use potty language because obviously he's Slash, isn't he?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of time spent saying, Slash, you know, this is like a family show. Yeah. Please don't say anything naughty. And he was like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know.
Yeah.
And then the show was sponsored by Wrigley's. And Slash famously is always chewing gum.
Of course.
And the legal people, just moments before we went live on air, having like kind of spoken to him like he's a small boy. And Slash wasn't happy about that. You know, the producer's going, please don't say. With moments till we go live, the legal people say he can't be chewing gum if we're sponsored by Wrigley's because it'll look like an endorsement.
So it was like
in my earpiece, the director's going, 5, 4, coming to you, David, 3. And then they leap in and say, get him to spit out the gum.
Did you put your hand out?
The floor manager came over and put her hand out. Really? Slash just like drops it into her hand.
I was hoping he was going to take his top hat off and spit it into there.
That would be great if it was just full of old gum. Exactly, Leona, exactly. That is a true story. He wasn't best happy, but of course, what an amazing man to meet. And it was great to spend some time in the company of Slash from Guns N' Roses, one of the great guitarists. Anyway, Sam, you've done it.
Yeah.
We'll see you at the Brit Awards.
Thank you so much.
You take care now. Send our regards to Gemma. Woo-hoo! Woo!
The Brit Awards 2026 with MasterCard.
Absolute Radio.
5 words. $5,000.
Absolute Radio.
So, as promised, it is time for radio's easiest game to play, the hardest one to win. And also, as promised, playing this morning is Lucy. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Lucy, welcome to the show. Lucy joins us in the mornings via the main station. Every now and again, a little bit classic rock. Resides in Birmingham. You do upholstery for classic motorcycle seats, Lucy.
Yeah.
What an interesting job. What's the most classic one you've done? Have you ever done like one of those kind of 1911 Indians, any of that stuff?
I don't even know what that means. But
okay, you don't watch American Pickers like I do in the daytime then, you can see. But you do the kind of Harleys and stuff like that.
Not American, British bikes, so a lot of Triumph and BSAs, that kind of thing.
Very nice, very nice. Now, the other fascinating thing about Lucy is currently 29 years old, and on her list of things to do before turning 30, play five words, five grand.
Ugh.
So, picked at random, and now on the show, we are literally ticking a life box.
This is a bucket list item.
It's so good, isn't it? On your list of things to do before you're 30, what else is there, Lucy?
Oh, there's so many random things, but I'll tell you the most random one, which is cooking a whole chicken.
Okay. I mean, you could probably tick that off, like, tonight, can you? I mean, it could be done, you know, it could be done. Do you mean from, like, farmyard to table? Do you want to get it yourself?
Are you going to pluck it?
Bronwyn, do you want to pluck a chicken, Lucy? Is that what you're getting at here?
Absolutely not, because I'm generally kind of grossed out by meat, but I feel like I can't go into my 30s not knowing how to cook a whole chicken.
Okay. You mean it's like a primeval instinct somewhere, like, you know, in your ancestry, it's like, I really need to cook some meat.
Yeah.
Need to adult.
Yeah, maybe.
Adulting.
It's a rite of passage, isn't
it? It's adulting,
your first whole chicken.
What about the ones that just come
like
in a bag? Like, a bag's good. You could do one in a bag.
Yeah, but that feels kind of like a cheat.
It's like a cheat, I suppose, Our ancestors did. The chickens didn't come in a bag then, did they?
No, they didn't. No.
I'm going to have to get like a stick and a fire, you know, roast.
You want to do it? Yeah, you want to do it properly. Okay, I understand. And what else is on there?
There's a couple of holidays, concerts, things like that on there. Nothing too outrageous, just little things.
You need to win the money for that.
Okay. So
exactly, that's the idea.
That leads us nicely on to spinning the random player generator. Let's see who you're playing with this morning. Here we go.
Five words, five grand. Player generator.
Matt Dyson, Andrea Fox, free choice. Matt Dyson.
Oh, what a coincidence. Matt celebrated his 30th 50 years ago, so that's weird. Time for you to leave the studio, Matt. Sorry. I can't help myself. There you go. There's your walk out music. Get out of here, you. And he's gone. Okay. Lucy, you're aware of the first word, but I'm going to give you five words. You need to say the first word that comes to mind. I'll give Matt Dyson the same five words. If they all match up, you've won £5,000, and that buys you an awful lot of chickens to roast. So, good luck. As everybody knows, the first word is estate, so you've had some time to mull that. What are you going for?
Agent.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. OK, let's move on, shall we? The next word is couch.
Potato.
Mm-hmm. Printer.
Paper.
Funny.
Bone.
Bone, singular, or bones?
Bone, singular.
Singular, okay. Locked in. And finally, Lucy, the word is contact.
Lens. Yeah.
Lens. So, estate agent, couch potato, printer paper, funny bone, contact lens. That is a great set of words. Stay exactly where you are, Lucy. Matt Dyson is in play. Next.
Five words, five grand.
Absolute Radio.
Okay, Lucy, it is time to play five words, five grand.
Well, let's go.
Okay. Matt Dyson.
Yes.
As you are fully aware, the first word this morning is estate.
Agent.
Correct.
Good.
That's one down. Up next. The word is couch.
Surfing.
Oh my gosh. No.
It was surfing or potato.
It's potato. It's always potato.
No one says couch potato anymore.
Yes, they do.
It's his expression.
Lucy's
Everyone's
29 years old.
Surfing. There's two options for couch.
Oh, Lucy, I'm sorry. Oh. You're not going to be winning the money. Let's do the remaining words. What have you got for printer?
Cartridge.
Paper. Funny.
Bone.
Correct. Contact.
Lens.
Is also Correct, which means it is 3 out of 5 on 5 words, 5 grand. Lucy, it's been lovely talking to you. Have an incredible 30th when it comes around, and I'm glad we were able, even though you didn't win the money, to tick that off your list. Now you go and roast that chicken, okay? You hear me?
I will, in your honour.
You got it! Roast that chicken in my honour, Lucy, and we'll speak to you again soon, I'm sure.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.